Well, this morning I have a message called The Prosperity of Mackay, and I want to share some thoughts with you about that because I believe it's very important for our city. But before I do, I want to just read you a story, or read you a, it's a true story, about a lady named Hetty Green. She was the stingiest woman in history. Her wealth is estimated at more than $2.3 billion, and she was born in America in 1835, the only daughter of a wealthy businessman. She inherited from her father a fortune estimated at $7.5 million. Now, that was in the middle 1800s. $7.5 million, the middle 1800s would be, I don't know, $100 million today, easy. When she was 21 years old, she moved to New York City to invest her money in Wall Street and was called the Wicked Witch of Wall Street because she was so good at making money and investing money. She married a millionaire like herself, but still lived on leftover cakes and broken biscuits in grocery stores, and she argued to get free bones for her dog every day. Hetty Green was a very miserable woman. She sewed underpants, made her own underpants, underwear, when she was 16 years old, and she didn't change from that for the rest of her life until the day of her death. She never spent a penny, so it was said that she never used hot water, never wore a black, she wore a black dress that did not change until it was completely worn out, and that she lived on eating a pie that only cost 2 cents. Now, pie's a bit more now, but that was mean fare for a woman of her wealth. She caused her son to amputate his leg because when he broke it, she delayed getting it treated because she didn't want to pay any medical expenses. And his leg unfortunately got gangrene. They had to cut it off. She spent no money and kept looking for free medical attention. She died in 1916 at the age of 81 in New York City and was entered in the Guinness Book of Records as the most stingy person in the world. The cause of her death was a stroke due to a quarrel with her maid because the maid asked for an increase in her meagre salary. She died and left behind a huge fortune, and her children did not inherit her extreme stinginess, thankfully, but rather they were generous to the point that one of her daughters built a free hospital with the money that she received. Isn't that amazing? But it tells you something. There is a thing called the spirit of poverty, and it's an angelic being, a powerful angelic being. It's not an imaginary thing, it's a true thing. And the spirit of poverty works against people, against cities, against countries, nations, whatever it might be, and works in ways of developing mindset. And so you can have, I believe poverty is a mindset, not a circumstance. And so the spirit of poverty can bring wars, can work through natural disasters, can work through climate problems like floods and droughts, work through religion, work through greed, and probably work through other things as well. And I want to say to you this morning, in sharing this message, it's a two-part message in the sense that it's for you and it's for our city. And I'll take you through that. Please understand where we're going. Pastor Ben preached three messages on prosperity, and so this is the prequel to those three messages, and it's going to come from a different angle to what he has done. Can I just do a quick survey? How many of you were born, and I'm only looking for adults here, I'm not looking for children, how many of you were born in the city of Mackay? Just, I would think that would be about a dozen max or less. And you can be proud of being born in the city of Mackay. Don't ever hide it. That's a great city. That's why we're here. But I want to suggest to the rest of you, and even those you're born in the city, God brought you here for a purpose. And it was more than just to get a job. It was more than just to move maybe from overseas and fill a role here. God brought you to Mackay, and you need to discover what God wants you to do and to take the responsibility of responding to that and saying, yeah, I'm going to do something for God in this city. And I'm talking this morning about prosperity, and I want to try and help you find how you can be a part of what God wants to do. How many people, I hope, feel stirred in their lives to be a part of what God wants to do? But I pray regularly, and in my prayer time, I usually, a part of my prayer time, I say, God, taking from what we call the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm using old King James, but that's how I learned it when I went to school, and that's what sticks in my mind. May the kingdom of God come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray it for my own life. I pray it for this church and I pray it for this city. Let the kingdom of God come in Mackay and let his will be done. And I believe his will is to bless not only our lives, but also this city. So I've been stirred about that. And as I was sort of working in prayer one day, I began to feel the concern and began to see what's affecting our city, the lack of prosperity in our city. And I'll explain a little bit about what prosperity is. You might immediately think prosperity means money. You might say, oh, well, there's plenty of money in Mackay, but I'm going to show you that's not the total truth about our city. And so I want you to be believing with me that we can make a change, because the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that salvation is more than becoming a Christian. The word sozo for salvation. And if you go to Isaiah 53, you'll just see all the things that Jesus did for us on the cross. And so it's more than just being born again with a hope of heaven. It's about our health and our well-being and a provision and our relationships and a lot of good things like that that God wants us to experience. We're a worshiping church. I want this church to have a heart of worship, because we believe that that touches the Spirit of God and God comes in his presence, and that that releases something in our city. I believe the portal of heaven has opened over our city as we worship, and that's a vital part of what we do. But I think God wants more from us than that. Apart from our relationship with him, that's great. But he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we've got a responsibility to do that. So let me say this. God intends for his people to prosper in all areas of their life. But this is where the spirit of poverty steals that prosperity from you, that you don't enjoy all of those things. And may I just say, when we talk about prosperity, that it includes things like a spiritual well-being, a spiritual life, prosperity in the spiritual, prosperity of well-being, prosperity of health, prosperity of relationships, prosperity of employment, financial prosperity. All of those things God intends for your life, but the thing is, he intends them for other people too, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. Let's consider Mackay for a moment. I've been here nearly 41 years, and I've seen many businesses close in that time, as I imagine even those of you only been here 5 years, you've seen businesses close down, cafes close down. Let me just name some. When I came, many of you won't know these names, I'm talking about, these were department stores in Mackay. There was Reed's, there was Lambert's, there was Mitchell Moore's, there was John Carroll Retrovision, there was Health Point Chemist, there was Oscar's Cafe and Bar, there was Kevin's Place, there was Paper Chain, there was Hatfield's IGA over in Shakespeare Street. There's Kahuna Resort. There's nightclubs that closed. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm just saying that that happened. And then 9 other cafes. In Mackay, there are 25 abandoned buildings. And I'll give you some examples. The A-Mart up near Shell service station, as far as I know, that's still empty. It's been empty for years. The Kahuna Resort, which was a nice little resort, and now it's deteriorating badly. The Channel 7 building on the corner of Victoria and, I think, Wellington Street. The Health Point Chemist over in Victoria Street, that's just an empty building. I drove past it the other day. But here's the clincher, the Commonwealth Bank in Victoria Street. I'm sure you all know that. It's a derelict building. It looks terrible in the middle of our city. But I want you to, I saw something in the spirit about the Commonwealth Bank. Because it's a real eyesore, the Commonwealth Bank is the largest bank in Australia. And I'm not sure by far, but it is the biggest bank. And they used to have an elephant as their symbol. And so in my opinion, they were the biggest and the slowest bank if you ever dealt there. But leaving that aside, let's not knock the bank. But here was this bank situated in the middle of our city in a purpose-built construction. And it's a heritage-listed building, so they can't tear it down. and it needs to be repaired and done up. But this is the point I want to make. Now, the Commonwealth Bank's ongoing. They haven't closed down across Australia. But that bank was situated in the middle of our city in a building. It's now gone. And what's left is a derelict building, literally. To me, that speaks of the poverty of our city. The most important bank in the middle of the city, now gone. Now, I know they've got another Commonwealth Bank somewhere else. That's not the issue. But I see the point of it, that it had such an effect. And it shows the lack of prosperity that rests upon our city. Now, I don't want to compare our city to other cities, but I've been in other cities and they have their problems. I understand that. But I'm coming to you this morning and saying what I perceive in the spirit is that we have a spirit of poverty that's working in our city that we need to break and to release this city into the prosperity that God intends for it. And you just think prosperity, it's more than money. Please understand, it's more than money. I want to take you there. So I ask this question, does God care? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures around that, but it starts in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is Jesus speaking. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Then verse 45, which should be on the screen, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. In other words, there's relationship, and that's how we should behave to honor God. For he makes his son rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so when I pray blessing over your lives at the end of the service, you might think, well, that's good because Christians deserve to be blessed. But God intends for all people to be blessed. Can you hear me this morning? We might think, well, they're the wicked out there or the unrighteous. They don't deserve to be blessed. They don't deserve to prosper. That's not God's intent. He loves people. And he wants to bless and prosper people. And so we should have a heart for that as well. So when we pray, God bless, don't just say, bless my fellow Christians. What about blessing the people in Mackay? Let them come to God's blessing and hopefully through that into a place of relationship with God that they might know him. So our city has a veneer of prosperity. You might say, well, this is a pretty well-to-do city. House prices are reasonably up there. Well, I know that a lot of the wealth that has been in Mackay used to be from the sugar industry. Now pretty much is from the mining industry. And that means there are certain people who earn good wages, who live in our city. But that doesn't mean that the city is prosperous, because beneath the surface there is another reality that God reveals, and we need to know that. I mean, house costs are pushing people out of buying houses. They can't afford houses. Rentals, and I know Mackay has got more reasonable house prices than certainly Brisbane and other capital cities, but here we are as a city with rentals that people can't afford. People are being driven out of our city. We get people who apply to put their children in our school, and then they find they can't get rentals or how expensive it is. I say, well, we're not coming to Mackay. We'll go to another place where it's better for us that they might live there. Our largest auto dealer in Mackay is owned by people outside of Mackay, as is our grocery stores, Coles, Woolworths, Aldi, places like Kmart, Big W, Myers, Target. They're all owned by industry outside of our city. That means any profit that's generated in those places leaves Mackay. Now, I'm not saying they don't do something for Mackay, but if they're locally owned, they put back more into our city. Yes, it creates employment. Yes, they're paying rental on the building, all of that. They provide a service, and I'm very thankful for that. But they don't impart back into our city of the wealth that they receive. And that's how it's become. And that's why those big department stores we used to have all closed down. So there's no real local investment and giving back to the community. I know that's a broad statement, but I believe it to be true. Now, here's another fact some of you may or may not know. Queensland is the skin cancer capital of the world. Then I read the other day that Mackay is the skin cancer capital of Australia. So therefore, Mackay is the skin cancer capital of the world. Now, I'm not suggesting we go out and celebrate that. That's one award I'm not interested in for our city, that this is the skin cancer capital of the world. We're talking about skin cancers per head of population. So there's other, obviously other places with huge populations, they might have more skin cancer, but on a per head basis, we win. Now, I'm proposing we start to pray and give away that recognition that we might not be a skin cancer capital. So I'm talking about poverty, spirit of poverty. This is the sort of things it can bring and place on cities and upon people. And then I'm going out on a limb this morning to talk about something slightly different. Just, I suppose, 10 days ago, a young woman named Natalie Fram, sitting in her car, about to take her daughter and daughter's friend to sport, was shot by the man who lived next door. To my knowledge, we haven't found out why he did that. But when that happened, something just stirred in my spirit, and I thought, this is a dreadful happening. Any murder is a dreadful happening, so we're not going there. But I just felt this was such an affront to our city. And because I'd been brooding and preparing about the spirit of poverty, it just spoke to me again. This is what the spirit of poverty can do in a city. It can create crime. It can cause people to commit acts of atrocities that are so wrong. And so this young lady, Natalie Fram, is known to Claire. Claire was a friend of her brother's, and Claire has had coffee with Natalie. And Claire intends to go to the funeral. So Claire was upset, of course, by this, and that's a story I'll let her tell there. But this is an affront, definitely an affront to our city. Okay, let's talk about the different kinds of spiritual poverty, of poverty. The first one is spiritual poverty. That's the worst kind of poverty. It's why the church exists, to proclaim the gospel, to bring people out of spiritual poverty. It's why we as a church invest in missions, because we want people in other places that don't have the freedom maybe that we have to worship, or that they're bound by other religious problems, that they don't know Jesus. And so that's why we want to be involved in giving to missions. And in fact, next Sunday, we're taking up a special mission offering, and we're going to be doing that by the bags. Back to the future. We haven't taken any offerings up in the bags probably since 2020. So it's been about 4 years. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm encouraging you to come ready for that offering. If you give online to missions, great, by all means do that. But I'm encouraging the rest of us, let's come prepared for an offering. And my intent is that offering will go to Lesotho, because we have visiting with us Belinda Groves, great lady, you need to hear her speak, who started a work in Lesotho that's really just so powerful. And we want to be involved with that. So that's next Sunday. That's why missions is important. So the second thing is a poverty mindset. The story of Hetty Green. She had money. She had wealth. In fact, when she died, she was the richest woman in the world. In fact, I think she was the richest person in the world. And yet she's wearing these old underwear that she sewed herself, living on food that was terrible, and died of a heart attack because she was disputing over a minor thing like money. You see, she had it, but unfortunately her mind convinced her that she wasn't doing well and not prospering. Isn't that crazy? But you see, that affects a lot of people in that, because they keep believing they don't have enough. And I want to say to you, for a Christian, it's wrong to have a poverty mindset, because it denies God as our provider and blesser. And therefore, when I say there's a spirit of poverty over our city, I need to turn to the Lord and say, you are our provider, you're the blesser for our city, and you're the person I am going to look to, Lord, to be upon that, and I want you to join me in that. He wants to be our provision, and not just financial provision, because that's only one aspect, but all provision of everything that we need, that we have no lack in our lives. And we need to thank God for the opportunity to give, to be a giver in ourselves, because that's the thing that begins to break poverty. I've seen people who are wealthy, like Hetty Green, who think they're poor and they won't spend a dollar and they only chase the specials and the coupons to give them discounts, and that's terrible. I buy online, but my wife and I decided we need to buy local. And so I'm turning my attention more to what can I buy locally. Yes, I might pay a dollar or two more, but I'm investing in this city. And I encourage you to do the same. You see, there's people who believe, though they're not rich, they believe they're prosperous, because prosperity is much more than dollars and cents, money in the bank or possessions. Then there's the poverty of health and well-being. This is where the spirit of poverty can attack and convince people that they're not doing well, that their health is broken down. You've heard the story of how you can convince people they're not well. They've done these studies. They sit a person, in an office, and the friends come by and say, boy, you don't look good. Are you okay? You're looking a bit pale. In fact, I can see a little sheen on your in your forehead. You sure you haven't got a temperature? And you could talk people into being unwell by saying those sort of things. That's why the spirit of poverty is trying to do that. He's trying to break down your well-being. Well, you know, you're not doing so good. In fact, if you lived in another city, you'd be better off. Or if you married another wife, you'd be better off. Or if your kids were this, that. Hey, don't listen to it. Come back to the truth of God's word. That's why we need the word of God, because we test everything that comes into our mind in light of what God says. Then there's a poverty of relationships. Do you know you can have a poverty mindset concerning your relationship with yourself? What do I mean? You can take the attitude, I'm not good enough. You might come here and worship with us and you think, I'm not worthy to come into God's presence. Well, here's the truth. God made you worthy. God's love isn't conditional. It's absolute. He loves you, full stop. And so you don't have to come before him and say, I don't know how you could love me. But you see, the problem we take that on when the spirit of poverty comes and whispers in our ear, we say, I'm an unlovely person. I can't love myself, therefore God can't love me. See, we wrestle with ourselves. You know yourself better than anybody else. You know, and a thought comes into your mind and you think, oh, I had that terrible thought about that person who offended me. How can God love me? I can't love myself. Get over it. Take the word of God and read what God says about you loving you. Just as he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. The word of God is an absolute. It's not about making suggestions. It's about telling you how you can live and be blessed as you walk in the ways of God. So if we were talking about our city, the spirit of poverty tries to break up relationships, tries to destroy relationships, people from people. Maybe people from shopping locally, because you know you don't like that shopkeeper, or you don't like the car dealer, or whatever. But you need to get over that. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is about relationships as well, that we can have relationships with people that are healthy, that are prosperous. That's what God wants. The devil is out to destroy that, and he's doing a good job, I hate to say, in the world and in our city about destroying relationships with people. There's so much anger, there's so much victim mentality. Get past it, folks. Don't live there. Determine you will have good relationships and live in the Spirit of God the way he wants you to do. Mindsets. People focus on their needs. I know there's been an increase in grocery prices. I know there's been an increase in petrol prices. I know there's been an increase in say, going to the doctor or buying medicine or whatever it might be. I looked at my private health insurance costs the other day, and there's only two of us in our family, and it's over $5,000. And gosh, I remember when I started work, I earned $2,000 a year. So I thought we've come a long way now that we're paying $5,000 in costs. And of course, when you get older, it's a good idea to have private health insurance there. Health and well-being. We can prosper. We need to speak prosperity. We speak health in our home. Health and well-being. I don't care if I spend that $5,000 on medical costs. I just pray I don't have to use it. It's like car insurance. I pay that, but I sure as whatever do not want to have to claim on my car insurance, because that means something's happened to my car, and you would feel the same as well. Well-being, prosperity, God wants to bring it, and relationships, the way people treat each other and relate. Denise was telling me about a lady she was talking to who used to work in Suncorp banking, and she said she had to leave it. She said, the old people are lovely. You know, they're pleasant, they smile, they're polite. But she said, the young people are so rude. And she said, I just couldn't handle it. I had to give it up there. So that's a sad thing, isn't it? That's the spirit, that's the poverty spirit that's working in our city. So we come to the question, what can we do? This applies to you. Firstly, pray. Now, prayer, some people think is, God, please do this, please do that. You know, remember me here, remember me there. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's more to prayer than that. There's the power of prayer to make declarations. And when we stand and make declarations, God releases, because he's given us authority. And often we come to the Lord and God's saying, well, I've given you the authority. But we still want to beg God for the answer. And God says, well, get up and get out there and do it. And so let me say this to you. We can speak prosperity over our lives. And I'm talking about more than financial prosperity. I know people think immediately financial, and that's part of it. But speak prosperity over your life. See, I've been praying for prosperity. I'm speaking it over our church, our school, our city. I declare prosperity for this city, and I break the yoke of the spirit of poverty upon our city. This city can prosper. This city can be a great blessing, not only for the people who live here, but a blessing to people outside of Mackay. Because as we prosper, we can give so much away, and that includes financial prosperity. You want to look, you know, next week when you put that $1,000 in the offering and you say, oh, I've given a big amount there, and then you get $10,000 back from the tax man. Well, I can only say to you, that doesn't sort of make you a big giver. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means you've given part of that. So let's be prosperous and let's see God do what God can do. Second, faith and belief. In 3 John verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God intends for soul prosperity. The soul is that part of us, the mind, the emotions, the will. In other words, that's our well-being. That's how we feel. It's how we feel about ourselves. It's how we feel about relationships. It's how we feel about the future. It's how we feel about life in general. It's how we feel about our place in God and knowing God, loving us as a child of God. And so we can declare that over our lives. And see, the definition of prosperity in Scripture, the word is eudo, and it means to help one along the way on a journey. And it's used in the passive voice, signifying to have a prosperous journey. You know how we say, have a safe journey, or have a good journey, or have a good trip, or have a good holiday? That's a little bit like this. And the point being that we are on a journey and God is with us and he wants us to prosper on the journey, whatever that prosperity looks like. And God knows the best needs that we have, and he wants to minister to those that we might have prosperity. And you have to trust and believe God on the journey that his prosperity will be yours. The other thing is invest yourself in our city. That means declaring, praying, believing. Buy local. Get involved in the city. Look for opportunity to be generous. Generosity, giving, breaks the yoke of the spirit of poverty. Now, what sort of things can you give? You can give time. Perhaps a neighbour has a need. See, if everybody just did something small, it could grow large. Because it's the little things that make into the big things. And so you can give a little bit of time to somebody who might need it, a little bit of finance, perhaps. You can give hospitality. You can be kind and give encouraging words. Now, here at church, I'm charging you this morning. If you go into a shop this week, I want you to tell the person behind the counter, smile, thank them for their service, and say the boss ought to double your wages. You're such a good employee. I tell them that and they say to me, would you come and talk to the boss for me? I say, sure, glad to. Listen, if you will sow something like that, then perhaps that person you sow it to will sow it with somebody else. And it will travel. And we talk about these viruses around the place and one person catches and another person. You know, we had to wear our masks during COVID because somebody could pass it on to you. And we sort of live in fear that we might pass on something. So we don't pass on anything, but that also stops the generosity of spirit. See, when you wear a mask, nobody can see your smile. Thankfully, we don't have to wear masks, so we can smile. Why don't you give someone a smile? It doesn't cost you anything. I know it uses muscles in your face there, but that's okay. You can use it. You don't have to use Botox then or anything like that. It'll do your face good. You can do it, folks. Be kind and encouraging to people. Let's sow into this city. Let's believe we can make a difference in the city of Mackay. The fourth thing is we can make a difference. Do you remember the story? I don't know whether you've heard it because it mightn't have happened for you, but back in the day, there was a story about a boy in Holland. And in Holland, they have these dikes because they've reclaimed, the land is lower than the existing sea around about it. And so they build these walls to keep the water out. And so this story, obviously, is an old story. They built the dike. And these days, they build it out of more enduring material. But this dike began to leak. And so the little boy put his finger in the hole, realizing that if he could stop that, then it wouldn't just enlarge and become a flood in the city. Now, I don't remember the rest of the story. That's all I remember. The boy put his finger in the dike to stop the water. But see, if we all get involved, we make a difference. Putting our finger in the dike to stop the flow. A simple action. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. You know, when I read that, I think that's great. You know, God's going to transfer all that money from the unrighteous to the righteous. But I think there's a greater truth there. I want to see the unrighteous get saved and bring their wealth into the kingdom and use it for the glory of God. My dad became a Christian when he was about 64 years of age. And he joined a church in Sydney. And he realised, because he understood, he saw the process of tithing, had a financial background. And so he began to give, saying, all these years, God has blessed me and I've never honoured God in that. And so he began to give and to give till the end of his life, which was 92. So he lived 18 years beyond the time of his death. 18? 28. What is it? 68? Yeah, 28. No, 64, 90, 28, is that right? Come on, somebody help me. Bree, 28 years? Thank you. Okay. All righty. So let's see the sinner get saved. In the 1800s, there was a man named Charles Dickens who used to write about the way that it was in London at that time, which was a terrible time of suffering for many people. There was a lot of poverty, a lot of orphans who were just on the street. But he wrote a book called A Christmas Carol. And in that he told the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge was just that. And that's fact where the term comes from. If somebody calls you a Scrooge, they're referring to Ebenezer Scrooge in the story. Because he held on to every cent he made, every penny he made. He was mean as. And in the story, it says he was requiring his employees to come to work on Christmas Day and to work because he didn't want them taking the day off. But the night before Christmas, he was visited by three ghosts. It was called the Ghosts of Christmas Past. And the Ebenezer Scrooge's experience because of those ghosts changed his heart. And so that on Christmas Day, he became a generous man and changed his life because of that. And so there is a great way that we can release into the blessing of people like Ebenezer Scrooge and take them beyond into a place of generosity. In 1988, my wife and I visited South Korea. And that was the year that they were having the Summer Olympics, so they were busy building for that, putting roads in. And we went around the city and bought some stuff and looked around. And we also went up to the what's called the demilitarized zone, because back in the mid-50s, North Korea and South Korea are at war. And the Americans were helping South Korea, but the Chinese came down and helped North Korea because North Korea borders China and they didn't want anybody near them like that who was not communist. And so at the end of they brought the war to an end by drawing a line across the peninsula of Korea, and they said, right, that's north, that's south. But to this day, you go there and they have guns pointing at each other, obviously rockets, stuff like that. Soldiers man that region through there. When I went to that city, it wasn't that prosperous. Do you know a man named Yongi Cho was dying of tuberculosis, and a young woman came to him and told him about Jesus and gave him a Bible. And he was miraculously healed from that tuberculosis. He expected to die, but he was miraculously healed. Became a Christian, started a church. And the people were so poor. This was after the war, so poor. And God said to him, you need to teach people how to prosper. And he began to teach them how to prosper, how to give, even though it was minor stuff that they could give, not much at all. But as they began to give, they began to prosper. The city of Seoul is a prosperous city today. Rich, the whole Korean peninsula is rich. Not North Korea, that's in absolute poverty. Spirit of poverty has worked on that and kept those people in poverty. But the spirit of blessing is upon South Korea. And that's a great thing. They have, as you know, Samsung products. You have Kia and Hyundai cars that are selling like hotcakes everywhere around the world. Christianity is the greatest religion in South Korea. It's about 29% of the population, so it's not half the population. Half the population in South Korea doesn't have any religion at all. But they made a difference. They taught a city how to prosper. They taught a nation how to prosper. And so Korea, South Korea, is a prosperous nation today. And I believe probably it began with Yongi Cho teaching his people in the church how to prosper. And they became very prosperous. I went to the plaza where they'd held a prayer meeting with 1 million people. And that's back in 88. 1 million people came to that. I wasn't there for that prayer meeting. That would have been exciting, but that's something, isn't it? It says something. And so I'm just saying we can make a difference. If we'll rise up and see how the spirit of poverty can be broken and prosperity arise on our lives and through us into this city. So this morning, will you believe with me? We can do this. I want to see us do it. And let me say, God wants to prosper people. He wants to bring his blessing on their lives. And don't just immediately think prosperity money. That's just a part of it. There's a lot of other things in there as well we want to see happen. So why don't we pray together this morning and just make a declaration. Father, for the city of Mackay, we declare prosperity. I declare your prosperity in this church, in the lives of these people. Let them prosper in the name of the Lord. And Father, that it might travel beyond this particular church and touch this community, that Mackay might be released from a spirit of poverty. I declare that the power of God in the name of Jesus might totally displace this spirit of poverty and to release our community into a prosperity. Lord, may you rebuke the skin cancer name over this city, and let us break that yoke as well, and let people do well in this city, well in health, well in well-being, well in relationships, well in knowing you, Lord, above all things. And we just release that today by prayer and faith with expectation to see your hand move upon this city, bringing a great level of prosperity. And through that prosperity, may we then impart to other places where the spirit of poverty has worked an unfortunate circumstance, that we might help break that and bring blessing and prosperity to people. In Jesus' name. Amen.